We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
How you doing, my brother?
Here we go. Here we go.
Can you believe it? Bob Myers is officially stepping down as the Warriors GM. We've given ourselves a few hours recording this at 7 p.m., had the day to digest, get our feelings through it. And I feel like there's two things we got to do. You know, part one, I just want to talk about Bob, celebrate him, all that sort of stuff. And then part two, we'll kind of get into everything else, you know? But my question for you more than anything is, were you surprised?
It felt like, you remember when KD, the day or two before he was going to sign with the Warriors, and made his announcement that he was going to sign with the Warriors, you kind of started to feel like he was going to end up as a Warrior, as unlikely it was. That's kind of what it felt like with Bob Myers. I think if you asked me a week ago, I was like, dude, there's no way. We literally did a show a week ago. Like, dude, there's no way. Then last night, yesterday, even the day before, it kind of felt like, well, dude is gone. He's pushing his announcement. He's making a whole thing about it. There's no way you do that unless you're given a whole speech, which he ended up doing. If you're signing an extension, dude, like that's a PR release. You're not doing a self-indulgent hour-long show, which is what they ended up doing. So not surprising, but I mean, pretty sad. Pretty sad. It felt like the end of. It might not be the end of the Warriors, but shit, it kind of felt that way to me.
It did feel like the end of an era. You know, it's funny. You said it felt like when they signed KD. To me, it felt like when KD left. By that, I mean, I kind of felt Bob was going to go all season. Like, all rational logic said he's out the door. But in my mind, I'm thinking, he can't actually do it. Like, you know, like, I was expecting a last-minute change of heart and for him to return. And, you know, I'm not surprised, but it just feels weird. Like, I just thought, you know, a week ago we would get that notification that like Bob's coming back, you know, that sort of thing. And
because logically it doesn't make sense for him to go. No. Logically it doesn't. It doesn't. I'm sure Lacob went in there last night and told him that we're gonna give you whatever you want. I'm sure he did that. He just whatever he wanted. And
the rumored numbers that they're throwing at, let's just say I believe Joey threw top dollar at him. Do you think it was about the money? Because to me, maybe Bob is the world's greatest swindler. I mean, he is an ex-agent, but I walked away from that going, I really don't think it's about the money. Now, you know, do I think he might change his mind in 6 months? Maybe, but like, I genuinely believe the guy was like, he probably walked away from $100 million guaranteed in a contract. You know what I'm saying? Like, there, he got offers of well over $10 million a year, and there's no way he got a 1 year contract. So it's like, you just think about it. It's like, if he got $15 million a year type of offer, which is what is being rumored,
if not higher, and I do think it might be higher, for 5 years. Like, that's not it. This isn't Sam or Andy leaving their positions to take a year off. You know, that's like life-changing money.
That is a lot. He's gonna get paid more than a lot of good players in the NBA in the new CBA. is what he turned down because there's no limit.
He's getting offered more than Looney.
Triple Looney. Are we guessing? Are we doing the why do we think Bob left segment right now, or are we holding off on that, Sam?
I mean, well, let's start there. Do you think, I just want to say this, do you take him at his face value that it wasn't about the money, that it was deeper than just like, you know, Joe offered me 8 and I want 10, you know, like,
yeah.
That sort of thing. Yeah.
I believe that. Because if it was 10, Joe would have gave him 10. If it was 20, Joe would have gave him 20. I'm sure there was no realistic limit that that Lacob wouldn't give him. I believe all that. My take watching that press conference, like, dude, I'm sure there was like 20 things that made him want to not work as a Warriors GM anymore. Dude, I think the biggest thing is he won't work for Joe Lacob. That's just what I think, dude. He just didn't want to work for him anymore, man. Like, he couldn't do 5 more years. Which I'm sure he likes them. I'm sure they get along. They did a presser together. But did you watch some of the jokes they were making? Body language, Andy. You know what I mean? Like, it's just Joe was saying some stuff where he just was like, oh, we're going to work you to the last day. And Bob's like, you know, he's smiling, he's laughing. And then he looks over, he's like, what the fuck? And, you know, Bob makes a joke like, I've never seen you compliment me that much before. And you kind of just watch that and you're just like, it's not that, right? I'm not basing it off of just that. But he didn't want to work for him anymore. That's what I think. Not for
there
5 years. That's a great picture.
I'm putting this picture, if you're watching on YouTube, there's that moment where Joe is talking about working. It's like, yeah, well, he's still here till the 30th. I'm going to get every day out of him. And Joe is just like, makes that face where he's just like, you guys get what I deal with on a daily basis. That's the, like, the indirect body language he was saying. He's just like, love how motivated this guy is. I like the people I work with, but like, you deal with this 3 a.m. text every day for a decade. Tell me how you feel. You know,
Joe said the biggest thing that he's going to miss is not talking to Bob 5 to 20 times, 5 to 20, which is like, all right, Joe, like, you obviously
that's such a jump. Yeah, it's like, yeah, dude, I like text him 1, 2, 48 times a day. You know, it's just what.
I mean, it's definitely not 20. It's definitely more like you said. It's definitely more like 50. But there's no way Bob likes that. It's just, to me, that was the biggest reason, Sam. It was just, there's no real amount of money that you can give me that I am going to want to work here for 5 more years. He just couldn't do it. He just couldn't do it. And I'm sure he's not actually turning down. Let's say it's 15. He's not actually turning down 15 a year because he could probably get 10 somewhere else doing something else, right? So it's not really taking 15 mil off the table.
I get what you're saying. You're saying if Bob, first off, he's going to get job offers that pay him a lucrative amount of money when he's ready to work, period, right? So, like, it's not like it's, you know, 12 million for the Warriors or 90K as a Salesforce administrator, you know, like, it's not like that's like the trade-off, right? You know, it's like it takes a lot of confidence in yourself to walk away from that level of money and that level of offer. By the way, if you want to ask questions, you can always throw them in the chat. We'll get to them when it's time. Yeah. I mean, I think he's burnt out. My big thing is he's saying he wants to take time. He wants to do other stuff. He talked about how he hasn't taken time off ever in his life. I finished college and I started, you know, working and doing law school at night. And then I became an agent. And then I worked for the Warriors. And, you know, he didn't need to say it, but he's 48 years old. I just think he's, you know, a little midlife crisis-y, a little like, dude, I've killed myself for 25 years, I need space. You know, that's kind of like the vibe I got a little there. Maybe that's why he's as wanted as he is in general, because I have a very hard time seeing other executives in any sport having kind of the temerity or just like just stepping away from it when you're kind of, we can talk about what we think of Bob, but the league thinks he's one of the two or three best. He can have any job he wants, basically, you know? To not care and walk away, it's like, it takes a very, you know, it's different. I'll put that.
It's way. Fascinating. I he doesn't need my respect. He didn't give a shit about me, but that I respect that a lot. It's so cool. You know, I love Bob. I love, he's one of my favorite guys in the organization. I definitely love him more than I do Steve Kerr. Even some of the player, he just, when he gave that monologue, the first, 10 minutes or so, and he just went down every single player. Just every single player, he starts talking about, he brings up guys that you've never even heard of, talks about Rick Wells, talks about. And then he doesn't even get to the players until he's like 8 minutes in and starts talking about his family. He starts tearing up talking about his wife, which, you know, maybe we thought that he would start crying earlier. He probably should have started crying when he started talking about Steph. That really would have played very well for us. But he talked about KD, dude. Like, he talked about KD. That was cool. You talked about, like, you don't see any GMs walking away. I don't see any GMs talk like Bob Myers. He talks like he's in a movie half the time, which but it feels genuine. It doesn't feel like the LeBron way of talking like he's in a movie. Like when LeBron talks, it's always fake. You just know it's fake. Everything he does is fake. But when Bob talks, it's like, oh, he actually means what he says 99% of the time. So I don't know. It felt like he's genuinely like, I'm done with this. I cannot do this anymore. Not for another 5 years. And what do you think he's going to do? He's going to go sit on a beach in the Hamptons? Nah, he wouldn't do it. He Cancun, maybe. He's going to be out of the States.
My prediction is he does a little media. He does a little tech summit, you know, keynote speaker tour, you know, get paid, you know, six figures for a couple hours of motivation.
Good game.
And a lot of time to myself in between. That's my short term. That's my assumption of what he's going to do over the next, let's say, 6 months.
Yeah, at least like maybe a year. From one of the comments, I got to read this out. This is great. From Bag Broke, he said about Bob Myers. He said that's true. All the other GMs are so analytical and human, and Bob cries in the shower. I mean, it's perfect. It's who he is.
Joe Lacob talked about the humanity of Bob Myers, and I thought that was perfect because we'll talk about Joe later in the show. And I do think he's an excellent owner, and he does a lot of things that you want. And as a born and raised Oakland A's fan, like, just I promise you, perspective on the ownership stuff is, it could be a lot worse. He recognizes, like, he doesn't have the human touch, Bob. It's not who he is, you know? Like, he knows he needs someone like Bob to translate his, like, insane venture appetite so everyone doesn't just hate him for eternity, you know? Like, and I think that's a, you know, that's an invaluable skill. Like, Bob, more than anything, has the ability to connect and get everyone on the same page. Honestly, find me another franchise in the NBA who's kept their main people together for a decade. That's the proof is in the pudding. We can argue about draft picks, and he made fun of the fact that he's bad at them. Sure. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Steve Kerr, Andre Iguodala, who they even traded for cap reasons and brought back. No other team has that level of consistency tied in. No other, like, I don't think we're going to see an NBA team who can keep their core together for a decade in our lifetime. Not with the way players act either. You know, like, could you see any other team sticking together that long? Like, it's, you know, it's few and far between. And Bob is a very important part of that. Like, you can tell, you saw Steph Curry's Instagram posts. You saw, I've never seen Joe Lacob. Like, Joe seemed angry and shocked and like, but like, also like, like, he really wanted to keep. I think it was sincere. I don't think he forced Bob out. I think he's mad that he lost Bob. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so all of that speaks to, you know, again, we can, you know, maybe it would be great if he didn't pick Wiseman. It would have been great if he did certain things, but it's like his value is much deeper than just
he did some stuff that didn't work out. Shit. I mean, that's everyone. It's every GM in the existence of all sports and everything. Mm-hmm. Thought the one anecdote he talked about with Steph was cool, because he said he sat down with Steph and then talked, and he kind of told Steph what he was going to do. And he told Steph, hey, it doesn't feel like you're trying to sell me on coming back, which to me, I think, is the perfect anecdote for the leader that Steph is and who Bob is. Because Steph, probably, he knew. Steph was like, dude, I'm not going to convince you. Like, there's nothing I can say to convince you now in the 11th hour for you to come back. He knew this was never about getting 16 million versus 13 million or whatever. Somebody said
I needed Steph to tell me he loved me or something. Yeah, like that.
It wasn't that. You know, Bob is not an insecure person like that, right? So it wasn't about that. That's a good one, by the way. That's because there are people like that. But it always felt like, you know, all of like 90% of this is always Steph. It's always going to be Steph, how great he is, like pulling people together. But dude, like Bob gets people to buy in Draymond. He is the Draymond whisperer. He got Draymond to buy in.
His joke about, he said like, I'll come back, Mike, if you need me to help you with Draymond, like just recognizing like, yeah. I mean, like,
Is who's going to tell Draymond that he's not getting $25 million? who's going to tell?
Who's telling Clay? You know, like, I mean, like,
yeah, right.
But like, who else? Someone said to me, you know, around Draymond, they're like, he knows that he can trust Bob to give him a fair offer. And it's like, it just kind of lets you know, like, you know, there's a lot of like, you know, you expect owners to act a certain way. You expect coaches to act a certain way, but like there's this like intrinsic trust that like Bob will get in there and like mediate. And when he tells you this is the most, you're like, you know what? I don't think he's playing me. I don't think he's trying to play me. And I can, you know, I can get an extra 10% out of him. I think he's being honest. And that's, yeah, that's kind of how you keep people bought in and not thinking, you know, like everyone's at a contentious side against him, right?
When Joe Lacob tries to give Steph a contract extension a few years back under the max, how do you think came in there and fixed it? Who do you think came in there and made it so that Steph wouldn't say, dude, what? Send me to LA.
This isn't worth nickel and diming to get a 2% better deal. Like you're gonna screw things up far worse, even though you're willing to pay the dollar. Like it's just, you know, exactly. It's someone who can come in and just be like, you're not thinking about this. Just trust me, you know? Yep. So
and I mean, Dunleavy, I'm sure, is smart enough to realize that he can say it, but to play, it's another thing for players to buy into what you're actually saying. And the players always bought into what Bob Myers was saying versus anyone else.
Is there another GM in the league that their players adore them? You know, like I kind of, you brought it up. Who do you think the players care more about? Not that it's an either or thing, Bob or Steve. On some level, it feels like they trust Bob a little more and, you know, it's a different role, but he's the family therapist or something.
More you go down the line, it's like, oh, he doesn't get paid enough, which is funny because I got a few people throwing out hypotheticals about Steve doing the Brad Stevens, you know what I mean, like just saying, you know, I want to be around this team, but you know, maybe I'll be a GM instead. So I don't know, they threw that out there, but it's like Steve and Bob were best friends. It's kind of funny. And I just, that was thrown out there, Sam. You don't think so? You don't think that's...
He already been a GM. He's already said he
was bad. And
he said he hates it. Like, that's the bigger thing for me.
Long time ago.
I mean, that's fair. Maybe his perspective's changed after being on the road for a decade. You know, like, things look different when you're doing a red eye between Memphis and Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? Where you're just like, man... Maybe the GM gig's better where I can just fly in and then go sleep in my bed at night.
I mean, I can see his kids. Anyway, just throwing that out there. It's not worth talking. It's just throwing that out there. You never know.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, I had another question on the Bob Myers thing, and then I want to talk about, like, I don't know, man. Like, we should celebrate him a little bit before we move to the other stuff, which will dominate the offseason. Do you believe Bob is done with basketball?
There is absolutely no chance. Actually, Joe Lacob
brought this up about, like,
it's funny to me that Joe brought up, like, three separate times, like, I don't know what he's doing. He might have something else that he wants to do. And I was just laughing. I was like, dude, are you trying to say something?
Yeah, I feel like Joe, I truly believe Joe thought he was going to sell him at the end. He thought, like, Bob's going through it. It's okay. End of the day, I'm going to win. You know what I mean? Like, that sort of thing. Yeah. And then we found out this morning, he was like, what? You know, like, I actually believe that he didn't know until this morning. His actions were, he was way too obvious on the face.
Everybody around him told Joe that, hey, Bob's gone. And Joe's just like, no, I got this.
Give me,
you know what I mean?
Get me in a room with him. We'll hash it out over a drink. It'll be done, you know, that sort of thing.
Do you have Stewie? I got Stewie. I got him. Don't worry about it. I got him.
Exactly.
You know, Joe's like, I got him. It's done. Every Kirk's sitting there like that. It's not happening. Bob's gone. It's not. So Joe doesn't know what he's going to do. I think Bob probably doesn't know, but you'd have to imagine that someone like him that's been doing this for 20, 30, 40. I mean, he's played at UCLA, dude. Like, he's been around basketball forever. He's not just suddenly going to walk away. Usually someone, if that happens to someone, they've gone through like a massive change, you know, like, obviously knock on wood, but like somebody dies or something really bad, right? Where someone's just like, hey, I'm not going to do this anymore. That doesn't seem like it's happened to Bob. I think he just, like you said, he just, dude, just give me like 8 months and I'm going to be managing the Clippers with Jerry West. Like, just, it's going to be,
I mean, honestly,
like that.
That's, I think he's, and I think it's going to be the classic. He takes time away. He does media. He's on ESPN. He's sitting next to Windhorse and Richard Jefferson.
Oh, God.
It's fun for a day. And, you know, 3 weeks later, he's like, dude, this sucks. And, you know, he gets that itch because it's just different when you're in the trenches and doing that sort of thing versus, like, you know, opining like you and me, honestly. So, and I think he's going to get that itch. And I honestly think he'll get that itch quicker.
Oh, wow.
Than he probably does. I think in his mind, he thinks I'm going to take time off and like, you know, figure it out, that sort of thing. But like, yeah, I kind of, my gut instinct is he's an executive next year. One year off is my gut instinct. And it may be he comes back to the Warriors as like a senior consultant type of thing.
Just going to say.
Yeah. Or ball, he's the 800th millionth person Ballmer throws a million bazillion dollars at, you know? So.
Joe actually brings that up. He says, you know, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep asking you to come. Because Joe's been around for so long. He's like 70 years old, dude. Like, he knows that Bob. He knows what you just said is going to be true. He knows that Bob's going to sit there.
Bob's 48. He's going to enjoy himself for a moment. And then he's going to be like, bro, I'm not 78. I'm not at the end of the road. I need something to do. I can't just sit on the couch and, you know, look at like new furniture spreads for how we're going to remodel the kitchen. You know,
he is going to lose it the moment that his wife comes in and starts having him pick out different furniture. He's like, nah, you know what? I'm good. Joe yelling at me. I actually like that. I'm good with that.
Yeah. He's going to be like, Oh, I'm not the boss here either. I got a wife. I got three daughters. I'm lowest on the totem. I'm below Kent in the house.
Three it's daughters just, kills me when he said that.
It's just me taking orders all day.
He starts losing his hair after he's done being a GM, and you're like, wow, it's actually more by stressful the way, to just live at.
Great point. Shout out. Amazing hair at 48. Amazing.
How's that possible? How's that? It's just the stress that he's been under. It just, how is that possible?
You would think with stress, he'd either lose it or go gray, but it's a complete opposite.
It makes no sense.
You think he dies it?
No way. No way. I just don't see it. I don't see it. It feels like like Steve Kerr looks more like a normal, like that guy's stressed out. He's got white going.
He's got a lot of responsibility. It catches up to him. Yeah, exactly.
I'm below Kent. That's great.
Yeah, the chat says no chance he dyes his hair. I'm inclined to agree. What if we find out Bob is just a crazy sociopath and he just knows how to play us more than anyone, you know?
Well, he would be the greatest because you hear from external people and internal people that he is genuinely a great dude. I mean, like you hear that stuff about Steve Kerr too, but Bob's and Steph, I think those three guys are kind of like externally, internally, you rarely ever hear a bad thing about them as humans, character stuff.
Like
about
you, those three you, guys. You, like, okay, it goes on saying Draymond, great dude, people like him, but it's like, but he can run hot. It's like, oh, no, shit, right? Really? Like, that's right, you know, it's like, or Jerry West, honestly, like, even a worse reputation in terms of like, you know, just graining on you know, grading on you, that sort of thing. Yeah. So
kind of like a Joe Lacob, right? I think that those guys where it's like a good generally they're good, but there is a tier where it's the Bob Myers tier, the Steph
you want tier. You want it as a fan, your perspective might be different if it's your day-to-day, you know, like that's kind of the vibe I'm getting. And I don't mean it as a bad thing or anything. It's just like, you know, I don't think anyone wants their boss texting them 25 times a day. Dude,
all right,
imagine getting texts about you know, it's like, should we trade for Dario Saric? And it's like 3:15 in the morning and your toddler has kept you up and you're like, not right now.
Hey, man, let me tell you what, Joe might have been right about Dario Saric. That text, we did need a Dario Saric. I do like me a Dario Saric. Let's talk about favorite moments.
Let's get to that. Yeah. So we got so I feel like there's three big transactions that define Bob. So I'm gonna lay these out here because it's more than just being a GM, but there's three that really like Bob. You know, the Iguodala trade. They had no cap space. He found a way to maneuver to get Iguodala and. To me, that was the first moment I'm like, oh, the Warriors never do that shit. The Warriors previous to this would not be the team who got a free agent. They're the team who overpays for Corey Maggette, you know, like that sort of thing. So that's a big one for me. The second one goes without saying. Kevin Durant, what was the line? You might win a ring without us. We'll probably win one too. But how many can we win together? I mean, that is to look at one of the greatest players of all time. It's a swindler move right there.
Ballsy. And Myers said KD called him when he saw the news. Like it's that's who Bob is.
I mean, I would expect to hear Bob's name in rumors to be the Phoenix GM. We're obviously assuming the Clippers because Ballmer loves to just buy anything he can expensive wise. But like, I wouldn't count Phoenix out either. KD still adores him. You think KD loves anyone else in the worst?
Definitely not Steve. What's the third one?
Third one is when KD left, pulling off the D'Lo sign and trade so he could make the Wiggins and the number 7 pick sign and trade. And that was probably his most impressive, because that's not obvious. First off, overpaying D'Lo, low-key just did that with Jordan Poole, but overpaying D'Lo.
That's some shit I would.
You know, I'm sitting here, I'm going, I don't know. I don't know about that one. And then trading him for Wiggins, who's even more embarrassing at the time. So embarrassing that they had to throw in a draft pick to sweeten the deal. And then, you know, like Wiggins is really good now. Like that whole sequence was just, I think every organization wants a GM who can find a player on another team who is a laughingstock and not just, I mean, like that's the job, figuring out what other people don't see. Everyone knows Kevin Durant's great. You know, the job is figuring out the D'Lo Wiggins thing.
That's the move. If Bob's never going to have to write a resume like you and I to apply for jobs, then he doesn't have to give him a sheet.
You don't think he's posting on LinkedIn?
Yeah, no, he doesn't have to go to Indeed, you know what I mean, promo code like yours to do any of that. But if he were to do that, the number one line on his resume would be, so KD left, I turned that into D'Angelo Russell, who we didn't even like, and then I turned that 6 months later into Andrew Wiggins, who nobody liked, and Jonathan Kuminga, who I think that's going to end up being, you know, could end up being pretty sweet, and then a championship. So I think that's the one, because, you know, like you said, Kevin Durant was, there was a lot of people with that. There was a lot of people, you know, Steph was convincing him, KD wanted to be here. And then the Andre wanted to be a Golden State Warrior. So it wasn't like the move itself was complex. I mean, we heard so much about Bob, like not sleeping for 3 days, remember all that stuff. So like, it was really hard to get through, but that's like doing a negotiation, a sale, when, you know, you're at the finish line, you just need to hammer out 80,000 fine print things, and you're just going to have to work through that, but it's going to happen. The D'Lo Wiggins ones was a, you know, I hated the D'Lo move, and then I hated the Wiggins move. Most people did.
Both were like ballsy gambles, and sure. And they took a moment too. Like, he bet big that Steph, Kerr, the culture, what they're trying to build would bring the player out of Wiggins that, you know, people thought he could be in the draft, but like for the first 6 years of his career, he wasn't, right? Like, he was terrible. It was kind of a losing player. I don't even think it's a question which of those moves is the most impressive, but it does show, like, you know, three different moves. The grinder, get the Iguodala thing done, even though there's not a path to get it done. That's just outworking anyone. There's the rings on the table, like big balls move, KD move. And then there's the actual, like, having the foresight to see things that other people don't see, which was the D'Lo Wiggins one. And, you know,
they all led to championships, by the way. One, two, and one. So four. Led to four championships.
Exactly. Each one led to a championship. They do not win a championship without Andre Iguodala, as we all know. They don't win back to back, and they should have three-peated, if not for health luck, without KD. And then they don't get back to the mountaintop without Wiggins. They needed a young, athletic small forward who fit their system, and he was. Yeah. I mean, look, man, you watched Game 7. I think Jaylen Brown's more talented than Wiggins, but you can't just slot him into that. Like, it's not as simple as that. Like Wiggins, over the course of 2 years with the Warriors, not only figured it out, but he figured out how to perfectly accentuate the Warriors, you know?
Yeah, I saw trade offers for Wiggins, Poole, or Wiggins, Kuminga in the first. I'm like, dude, I don't. Are you serious for Jaylen Brown? I'm like, I do that for Tatum, but not for the guy that can't. Anyway, yeah, you're right. So that was, that's a good way to put all three moves right into those buckets. It's really good. Gonna miss him.
I'm gonna miss Bob. I'll let you end the Bob segment before we get to the next one. But I feel like he was the grounding force in like what is an organization where like, you know, Joe Lacob is as ruthless as it gets. You know, athletes by nature are ruthless because they want to win games. He's like the dude who, you know, it's the human touch. I don't know. It's cliche, but
it is. I do think what makes the Warriors, it is slowly eroding, right? So Bob's gone, and then Steve's going to be maybe gone. I mean, Steph's going to retire at some point, and Draymond and Clay, who knows what this
all. They got another 10 years. Calm down.
Yeah, Steph does. But I think this felt like the first move where it's like, yeah, they're going to end up maybe just being like any other organization at some point. Lacob talks about like he's going to want to win no matter of stuff. And it's like, nah, dude, like you're going to end up just being like another organization where, you know, guys don't really work together. The players either have all the say or it's kind of like you just have Sam Presti who just trades everyone for anything every couple of years and resets it. Like it's just going to end up being like that versus who we've seen, which is 4 championships, 8 years, one of the top 5 players of all time. Like that's, to me, it's sad because it feels like that's ending. Maybe not next year, maybe not the year after that, but definitely in the next 4 or 5 seasons. And it always was, but this is the first domino. Yeah, that's why it's sad.